kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's our sound like? What's our sound like, our sound quality?
You sound pretty good. Tom, you're a little bit quiet. I'm not sure if you're just further away from the mic.
That's what I was about to say, too.
That better?
Not really.
Tom, why are you so quiet?
I don't know. That's not usual for me to be quiet.
Your volume is up to max, so just put it closer to your face.
What about now?
It's about the same.
Oh my god, why?
That's pretty much on my face.
Yeah, like, you could just put the microphone into your mouth, perhaps.
Is it backwards? It's been backwards before.
Is it backwards?
Is that better?
No.
There's a little metal dot on it that shows you which side is the front, not there.
Oh.
Should we
call for Lewis?
Lewis won't know how to fix this, because this is... Well, no, we're better off with the audio engineer for this.
Lewis is going to ask you if you plugged it in and unplugged it.
He will. Exactly.
Jiggle the handle.
Yeah.
Maybe if I turn myself down, then by comparison, it will sound normal.
Joe might be able to turn you both up.
The thing is, the way it records is all three of you are on one, are all on the same stem, I guess. So, I mean, I could run a compressor and do as good as that'll let me run with it, but he still might just be a little bit quieter compared to everyone else. Just yell. Use your outdoor voice.
So the thing about Prison Architect.
We're getting red on the thingy now.
We're getting red on the thingy.
Yeah. So our volume is putting you at super loud.
That's weird.
I've turned a thing up, which might make your volume higher.
Should we get Anthony?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go and get him. You're fine.
Okay.
So hi, how are you?
Oh, magical. How are you guys?
Awake.
Yeah, what time is it?
It is 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's like a reasonable time.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
I would have already been in the office for 2 hours by that point.
I've been up since 5, so I'm fine. Joe struggles at anything
one. 5 a.m. is morally bankrupt, and you should reassess your life decisions as far as I'm concerned.
My oldest daughter has to get up at 5 because she catches the bus for school at 6.
Okay, that's fine. We just need to get Tom louder, and I don't know which thing he needs to press. So I've got him on the max there. I've put me down a little bit, so we could maybe boost it on the other end. We'll change.
We can't hear.
Like, we can hear Tom. He's just a little quiet, and we both know that Tom isn't a quiet person. So are any of these knobby things that I can make be bigger?
No, because
none of those will help.
What's these being changed? Where did you normally put this stuff when you finished?
It won't have moved.
No one would have touched the settings and the knobbly bits, but I turned myself down just so we could try to balance Tom out a little bit.
Really, they should be exactly the same because you're both.
I think they should be the same.
Is it something on your computer now?
No.
The line in?
No.
Is there only one line in?
Yeah. It's just through USB, through the mixer.
One of those.
What if I do this whole thing with like a whisper like this? and
I'll shout.
Yeah, and then it'll sound really weird, but
we are not live.
No, we're not live. We are chatting.
You sound
to people.
Like you. Are you?
Yeah, we've got our lovely goodness, we've got Cole and Joe on the other side of Skype here.
Hi.
When I came in.
Oh no, you could probably swear.
Oh, you can definitely swear.
I will find at least 47 instances to say fuck. It's fine. Is your podcast a sweary podcast? Or?
Yes, we are a sweary podcast.
Oh,
that's why they let me there.
That's great. That's good. Because we keep having to put our mixer streams back up to like mature because Tom accidentally drops F-bombs left and right.
Well, now he can intentionally drop F-bombs left and right.
Can I drop C-bombs?
No.
Say whatever you like.
See, hear that? I can say whatever I like.
That's not true, because I will emotionally abuse you after the call if you embarrass us.
I hope you emotionally abuse him during the call.
Yeah, well, that's normally how the streams go, so I'm okay with it for podcast purposes.
I kind of want to keep all of this in the show, of just like all the...
Are you recording it?
Have you got that hot recordy button going?
Oh, yeah, the record button goes pretty much as soon as the call starts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with it. The directors might not be delighted.
We've learned that some of the best.
One second, guys. Anthony's asking me a question.
Is it your chum on the side who said I can't hear Tom?
Yeah.
What about now?
Okay, we're doing a suit. Tom, do you say some things at the mic?
My name is Tom, and I am the best game designer since Hideo Kojima.
Like, and was that still really quiet, or?
It was still a little bit quiet, but it's good enough.
Okay, well, Tom,
we'll make it work.
Right up to it as well.
Okay.
And I'll sit back a little bit, and then we should be able to figure this out.
Just have him talk directly into the microphone.
Okay. Okay. Well, our composer / audio engineer has just come in and looked at our sound setup and said we are right on this side. So
it could just be Scott doing what Scott does.
All you need to look at.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, I thought I was looking at that.
Yeah, you're both peeking at the same.
Okay, that's cool.
If Tom was down, you know, like where I am now, then I would say there's a problem.
Because, Tom's was coming through and it was hitting the reds, it was hitting the peaks.
Yeah, so it's something.
Okay, it's something between the computer and you guys, I think. So I think we're just going to have to go with it.
Hooray for technology!
Yay, the future.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your help, Anthony. You are a doll. I'm just showing off for our podcast friends. Where's my vent gone?
Yes.
Well, let's have this conversation later, Anthony.
Yeah, they don't
care. Okay. You don't need to know about our missing vent. It has gone. We're in our Swish kind of audio streaming room at the moment, which is all padded walls and fancy things like that, and we used to have an air vent when they appear to have blocked it in, so I'm a little paranoid they're going to like pump in some mustard gas or something like that at some point.
That'll get some good headlines though.
Jesus. Yeah, it would be a bit much for people to do that to us, Tom. Yeah. I'm in agreement with you.
I think it's just because Anthony hates all forms of noise because he's our audio engineer. And he just wants he wants to be in a room with like 50 layers of soundproofing around him. So things like air vents and everything he hates.
Ooh,
what
air
he doesn't
vents.
Consider though is that when you are streaming in this room, it gets really hot.
Oh my god. We
but you can't
yeah.
put the air conditioning on because it goes and it messes up your recording, so oh well.
Yeah,
we'll just die here.
Okay. We should probably start being professional.
We should really, yeah.
But yeah. Why?
Yeah.
Actually, you raise a very good point there, Joe.
This is the most unprofessional podcast to ever reach 400 episodes.
Probably.
That's a really impressive number of episodes. Congratulations, guys.
It's not because we're good. It's because we're bored and persistent.
Persistent, yeah.
Wow. Well done for being bored and persistent.
Yeah, I mean, the Beatles only had so many hits because they released like 12,000 songs. So
everyone knows that.
Everyone knows that.
If you 12, keep throwing spaghetti songs. At the wall, eventually it sticks.
Yeah. Eventually, you'll get a number one hit with that spaghetti.
I like the word we're playing cute with spaghetti as opposed to shit.
Oh. I mean, yeah. Spaghetti.
Sometimes
is probably...
my mom's side shows, even though I say fuck a lot.
Yeah, I have a similar.
I know.
On the last stream, Nat did something to annoy me, and I told her to go fly a kite. And it was the most dad thing I've ever said.
Like, shut the front door. Oh, fudge. You're such an old man with tiny children. Yeah. I have no children, so I'm still a miscreant, so that's fine.
Mine have gotten to the point where, like, I don't have to worry about... I never really was one to censor myself a whole lot, and I only had one instance where one of my kids repeated me. And which is a funny story on its own, because I have rheumatoid disease and I drop shit. It's just what I do. And I was brushing my middle daughter's hair And for the record, she's on the autism spectrum. She doesn't repeat things a whole lot, but when she does it with intent.
Wow.
And I was brushing her hair, and I dropped the hairbrush, and it was just kind of second nature. I dropped something. I say, fuck. I dropped the hairbrush, and I went, fuck. And then all of a sudden, from in front of me, this little redheaded child goes, fuck. And all I did was calmly pick up the hairbrush, and I popped her on top of the head with it, and I said, don't say that again. And she's never said it since.
Don't you fucking say that again.
No.
One of my first words was bollocks.
Oh, mine were all nice words, because I was raised well, Tom, so.
up here in the north.
Up here in savages. The north by the savages, yeah. We got electricity, then I was taught to speak.
Oh, man, I feel bad if I cut any of this, because this is all really funny stuff.
No, I mean, you should just follow us around with microphones, because this is like 8 hours a day, just comedy gold all the time. Yeah. I'm not sure why Fox hasn't picked us up for a season yet, to be honest.
Probably because they would air us out of sequence and it wouldn't be funny anymore.
Oh, that's a really good point.
Yeah. Oh, man.
References wouldn't make any sense.
You could be a Netflix show, and then people could binge watch, and there goes my cat knocking shit off my desk. Thanks, Gabe.
So,
there goes my cat knocking
shit. So are we all cat owners here, then? Because I see Joe has a cat in his little Skypey picture.
Yes, I have eight.
Eight?
Overachiever.
That is an excellent number of cats, and I'm into that hardcore style.
Your house has a funky smell.
My house only has two cats and it has a funky smell, so that's I can't you. Even be... Oh, no, yeah. I should stop peeing on the floor. And
you
then,
should wash more.
Yeah, and bathe more. What are you doing? Has your headset come loose?
I'm only getting sound through one earpiece.
Oh.
And every now and then when I move the line, it pops back in with the sound for a couple of seconds.
Oh, do you want another headset? Do you want me to get on
Come
Teams?
Come with some of the buttons. Yeah,
and I'll be like, nice. Hey, guys, deliver us a thing, peasants, bring us our headsets. And...
What that means is she'll be sending a very nice message.
Very polite. Hi, Lewis, you're my favourite person. Lewis, hi, Lewis, can we have another headset, please? Pretty please. Can we have another headset? Pretty.
Well, this is going
please, you are the best one. There we go. Kiss on the end.
Aww.
Just to keep it professional.
That's sexual harassment.
It is, but HR were on my side, so it's true. All right. Got them eating out of the palm of my hand.
That's also very weird.
Yes. But there's probably a new headset coming, so, you know, we're good.
Winners, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. So this wow, so this stuff. Awkward silence we've created then, Tom.
I think they're trying to be polite by waiting for us to get for me to get my headset issues.
Oh, and where
you?
Oh
no! Like I said, this is all recording. I'm keeping all of this. I already said that.
Right, because like, I mean, we have come on to be marketing shills, and we're basically just doing the Nat and Tom show instead.
Yeah,
we're basically 10 minutes into the episode already, and I don't even care.
Yeah. We should have our own show, really, shouldn't we? Like, this is something I've learned from.
Why don't you?
Give me that back.
I don't know. I think it would wear pretty thin, pretty fast.
I don't know. Honestly, I think, you know, some of the shit people watch on the internet.
Hi, Lewis is here, and he is the best one. Does it have a jack? You bought us both.
Oh,
you bought us both. You're so lovely.
Right, hang on.
Oh,
it
Lewis.
It was the kissy face that did it.
Yeah, it was.
It was
a little kiss at the end of the message. And you're like, oh, if it wasn't that nice, it would have only had one. Right, okay. Click.
Excellent.
Do you have two working ears now?
Yes, I do.
Magic!
You're super loud now.
Oh, do you have a little volume doozy on your doozy?
Cheers, Lewis.
Bye.
No, that's fine. I'll just be deaf by the end of it.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. Man, there have been a lot of guests on the show this episode.
Yeah,
we had an audio engineer. We've had our favorite IT guy.
Did you think you were going to have this many guests? You were just like, oh, we're just going to have Nat and Tom. And
we've got Christopher Walken coming through any second, yeah. And I'm pointing at Tom, hoping he can do a Christopher Walken impression. And looking at his face, he definitely can't.
I'm getting performance anxiety.
No, please don't try it. I already feel sick.
That's my go-to Christopher Walken line as well.
Oh, as if you have a go-to Walken line. Like, I was being obtuse. You're just a terrible person.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
So, Prison Architect.
Prison Architect. Released on the Switch.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so, right. Because
it's fine. Because Christopher Walken says it's fine. That's so bad.
Oh, no. It's fine. Like, instead of just editing this video down, recording down, maybe you should just burn it and just like set it on fire. And
pretend
then,
it never
happened. Yeah, scrub it from the Twitter mentions and just let's all go back to bed and pretend today never started.
I'm down with going back to bed.
Yeah.
More people are going to be like, that's a good show.
So we're talking from the past. Because we are time travelers.
Yeah, we can talk about all the stuff.
We're 6 days in the past. And so you guys are like the first people to know some stuff as well. Like you two. Like this is stuff that's going out on press releases next week. And so you guys, like normally we would do the scary NDA thing, but we figure you guys are cool and we could probably hunt you down and break your knees if you were.
Please don't break my knee. It's just cute.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying we will, just we could. So keep that in mind.
That was terrifying because I dislocated my knee 2 months ago and I'm still healing from it.
Yeah.
You want to keep it that way?
Yeah.
You keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I don't know.
It's the nicey nice game dev's gone away for this bit. This is
Yeah, we're bringing out the thumb screws now. Yeah. Right.
If you want your knee to stay feeling good, you better shut your fucking mouth.
No. This has got really dark. I'm so sorry. Does it normally get this dark or is it just our influence?
Only when we have really good guests on.
Yeah.
Oh,
I bet you say that to all the guests.
This is how you really. Get them good game keys, isn't it? And we send you all the keys.
Yeah, you two were the best guests that we've ever had.
Since last week.
Got any keys?
Yeah. It was conveniently edit this part out of the podcast. Yeah, so we're talking from the past. Yes. So at this point, everything is still a tremendous secret. But when this is out in the future, it will be the day after all the press releases have gone out and the announcements. And then, there's a lot of very exciting things happening. And the big news is that Escape Mode DLC is out this week. Ooh. Like, not the week we're recording, the future week where it's people's ears are listening to it.
Yeah. When this is live, Escape Mode will be out.
Yeah.
Or will be coming out.
No, it will be out on PS4.
Yep.
And it'll be coming out the end of this week for Xbox One. And then very soon for Switch. And because the base game just came out on Switch to a really good reception. Really positive reception.
Oh my God, I'm so happy.
We are absolutely thrilled.
The Switch reception. We're at 21 in the download exclusives chart.
Wow.
Like, oh, it's 28. And then this morning, it's like, oh, it's 21. It keeps going up.
Yeah, I checked it last night. We were 26. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
Because the thing is with the Switch download charts as well, they operate on like 2 weeks. So all the other games we're being measured against have been out for that 2 weeks. And we had only been out for 3 days and we're already in the chart. So that for us is like super hype.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't have a Switch. I'm not really familiar with, you know, like everything as far as the Switch goes. But There's a lot of games that get released. I think we talked about it before, Joe, didn't we, where it was like 15 games a week and stuff like that.
Ungodly number of games that come out on the Switch every week.
And so you have a lot of competition to even just get on the chart, let alone that high in such a short span of time.
Yeah, it's really huge because the way that it works with Nintendo is that you register to become a developer and then you can release things on their platform, whereas you go through kind of more hoops on other platforms just to be able to get on there in the first place. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stuff being released on there, and you've got to really hope that you've got either enough name recognition, like thankfully Prison Architect has as well,
yeah,
or that the lovely, wonderful people at Nintendo decide to pick your game up as something to feature in their marketing, which they did for the indie highlight video. And then they did that whole "this game's now available to get right now on the store," and everyone goes, "Oh my god, secret surprise drop!" and gets really excited, and the sales spike, and then we all go, "Yay, the work was worth it."
Those are the best releases too, when it's just, "Hey, surprise, it's out now."
Yeah, exactly.
That's what Fortnite did at E3, so essentially we're as good as Fortnite.
Yeah, this is what that means. We're probably going to earn exactly as much money as well, if not more.
Probably. That's how it works, right?
Oh, that's that sweet, sweet retirement money.
It's retirement money. You just stop
working. You just buy an island and just go live there and hunt humans for sport.
Everyone at Epic Games must be driving golden cars by now.
Yeah. Like, I want one of them golden cars. I can't drive, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
We should probably start at the beginning, though, really quick. For the people who don't know what Prison Architect is, give us the sales pitch on the game.
Do you want to? It might be nice if I got to talk every now and then.
Prison Knife Fight.
You can't see, but that's what we're doing. I would win so hard.
I'm going to make you all sit in a corner and rock, paper, scissors it out like I do with my kids. I'll be like, you can't figure it out. Just go rock, paper, scissors until someone wins.
It's like that scene in The Dark Knight where he snaps a pool cue and throws it in the middle of those three guys. Like, there you go. And it's just like, oh, shit. Two of us ain't leaving here.
Yeah, but the difference is I came with a broken pool cue in my pocket, so I'm already prepared. Go on, do the sales pitch, Tom.
So Prison Architect is a game where you get to create and run a maximum security prison. It's been on PC for some time. We did the console port a couple of years ago, and that was quite well received because we did a buttload of work in like trying to overcome the impossible thing of, oh, how do you take this cursor-based, heavily PC keyboard and mouse game and do it well on a controller? And, you know, we managed to do it, surprisingly.
Yeah, and it controls really nicely.
It controls really well. I've even seen some people saying they prefer it.
They have. I know. Every time I see that, I'm like, ooh.
Every time I see it, I think, is that someone from Double 11? Like,
is that a member of staff? Just like
it in, but yeah.
Yeah.
I always feel a bit tingly when I read that. So it's you know, the Prison Architect won a BAFTA a couple of years back, it's been quite, yeah, it's been a very like British game, I think, in terms of its humor and stuff like that. It's quite well received, got a very sort of cult following for, you know, a lot of users really like, they don't just dip their toe in, they really go whole hog. A while ago on the PC version 1 launch, they released escape mode with it, which was, you know, turn it on its head. You get to play as a prisoner. And that came out just before we released the console version.
Yeah, and middle of 2016.
Yeah. And then ever since we released the console version, or ever since that came out, sorry, in the run up to the console release and after, all we had was, where's escape mode? Give us escape mode. So now we're releasing escape mode.
Yeah. 2 years later.
Yeah. And hopefully people will be happy with that.
Yeah.
Because we put a lot of work, probably a similar like proportion of work into escape mode for console as we have for the PC the PC version to console. So with the
you're starting to lose steam now, Tom. No, I can hear it in your voice. You're like, you're really reaching for those words.
I've been talking for a long time. Should I keep going?
I'm gonna steal all your talk. So we kind of, you know, we did similar to we did with the base game, and that kind of strip the whole thing back to what it is at its core, and then rebuild it for the console audience, because it's just not good enough nowadays to take a PC game and do the quick dirty port thing. You can't do it anymore. You can't get away with it, and you shouldn't be able to get away with it. It's very lazy and people don't have a good experience. So we stripped it all back and we kind of rebuilt it up with those kind of console players in mind. And that's why the control system is so good. The menu and UI is just absolutely fantastic. It's very, very clear. But we did that for escape mode as well. And we took kind of the essence of the mode and of the game and turned it into a much bigger DLC, which has like a fully fledged skill system and lots of different things to interact with and lots of different opportunities. It's a really nice thing. Now you're running
up steam, I'll take over.
I'm getting too excited. That's why I'm getting over.
We'll just ping pong back and forth for a bit. You guys just sit and chill.
Yeah.
Hey, works for me. I got a drink here. I got some snacks.
I'm just going to pet the cat and listen.
You got your goldenrod weed, you're fine. is that what that was? It was a drug, wasn't it?
No.
it's an IGI. Okay. It's silly.
Right. Silly boy. God.
Yeah. So one of the things we did when we looked at like escape mode, it was like, okay, well, how can we kind of make this a cool console experience? And one of the things I noticed as well was on the PC version, a lot of people do Let's Plays where they record it like it's almost like a role play for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me kind of think, people really like creating a prisoner and investing in that sort of character and developing that character. So we came up with some things like being able to make your own prisoner before you start and give them a name and stuff like that, and then give them some skills which will help you feel like you're progressing and stuff. Because one of the tough things about like making a prison escape game is that you have this kind of dual life of the prisoner where they've got to have the prison experience of doing things that are fairly mundane, like eating and showering and cleaning the prison and stuff like that and doing jobs. But then you need to have this secret life where the prisoner's like, slowly doing something, building up to an escape. So we tried to do that with the skill system where like, if you couldn't get to a certain place within the prison because there was CCTV cameras all over, you could develop your sabotage skills so that you could, sabotage those CCTV cameras. No one will notice for a couple of days or whatever before they get repaired. You can go in and get the thing that you need, and then that can, that's part of your escape plan. You build up from there.
Also, you can steal bacon to bribe dogs.
This is like, it's like bang on about this. I put this in as a joke.
It's my favorite thing about it. You can bribe dogs with bacon, and they will just ignore all of your shit for 24 hours. It's so good.
Honestly, this.
As far as I'm concerned, we should just release a whole DLC about bribing dogs. Because that's great.
I really want to put a cheat into the game where you can turn all the dogs into different dog breeds.
Aww.
That would be super cool.
Yeah, it would take a lot of art.
Like just Shibas everywhere.
I can't imagine Art would be delighted about the additional workload, but
it's like four sprites per dog. It's fine.
What kind of dogs are they in the game now?
They're
like German Shepherds, aren't
they? German Shepherds, yeah.
Yeah.
So what kind of DLC would you have? Like what kind of doggy DLC?
I wouldn't do it as DLC. I'd do it as a cheat. I'd pack into the game and it would turn them into
Shiba Inus.
I'd have them as like poodles.
A corgi.
You gotta have corgis. In this day and age, you need to have a corgi.
Corgis have such nice squishy butts.
Dalmatians are
nice.
I just think it'd be super fun to just be like putting a cheat code and have all the dogs change.
Because we already have a couple of cheat codes in the base game. Do they work in escape mode?
I think so.
Maybe. Yeah. The internet can find out, can't they?
Yeah, I think they do. One of them works. There's two existing ones. Mode.
Yeah, Instant Riot probably won't work.
No,
because that would be cheating.
That would cheat, yeah.
So Instant Riot, there is a cheat for that on the base game. And then we've got a Big Head mode, which just makes all of the inmates' heads giant. And it's actually really cute because they all look like little chibis.
Yeah, and then we put another cheat in for escape mode.
What?
Did you not know about this?
What?
Oh, we've got a Buff Boys.
Oh, the Buff Boys cheat! Yeah. We do have the Buff Boys cheat. There is a one. Was it an accident? It came up.
No, it wasn't an accident. It was totally intentional.
Oh, was it? I thought so. There's a skill you can earn in escape mode, which is like a rage mode, where you basically get like barbarian strength and you turn like super ripped and buff. And then we've just given that super ripped buff man bod.
Yeah, we just apply that to
everyone in the prison.
Oh my
and everyone
God.
Just gets really ripped.
Yeah, everyone looks like really oily and
so
and
can muscly. You can you mix that one with Big Head mod and then have some really big headed buff boys?
I think so. They just look massive. I think that is a thing God. That's been done.
Right. Does it affect the hitboxes as well?
I don't know. Cheat. We didn't test it.
We didn't test the cheats. No, that seems fairly reasonable. Are we gonna, so am I gonna like sneak out and like drop some Twitter images with all, are we just gonna expect people to figure out what the button presses are?
No, they probably won't figure it out, so yeah, we'll, I'll give you the cheat code and you can tweet that out.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
You could reveal it on the show and it'll stay secret forever.
I would love to do that, Joe, but I can't remember it.
It's like 12 buttons in an order, and that's, you know.
I think it's you hold Y.
Yes.
And then you press left, right, LB, RB, LB, RB.
And then
or something. It might be hold Y, left, right, RB, LB, RB.
Yeah,
RB.
One of these versions will self-destruct your console, so yeah. Try it.
No pressure.
Yeah.
Still totally worth it.
Yeah. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Buff Boys cheat is quite fun.
Buff
but
Boys
yeah, I'd like to put more cheats in the game, actually.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
I miss it. I miss the days of many, many cheats and exploding cars and all that sort of nonsense.
GoldenEye Big Head Mode and or it's just the GoldenEye Cheats menu. It's just a thing of beauty.
I've literally never played GoldenEye.
Oh, get out.
But we did just find out that Oddjob is now officially cheating.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
Yeah, that's like rocked everyone's
Well, no, come on. It's anyone that, you know, that's actually played GoldenEye and knew Oddjob was cheating.
Well, yeah, or anyone who's ever read anything on the internet ever. Yeah.
Complex.
People have so many feelings about it.
Complex, power weapons, no Oddjobs.
I feel like I don't need to ever play it because I read so many opinions about this game. And I'm probably okay.
There's only one opinion, and that opinion is that it's amazing.
Yeah, I've heard that. And
it was amazing that. 20 years ago. I don't think it holds up as well as most people think.
We leave out that part, Joe. We leave out that bit. That's the unspoken bit.
Yeah, I was, you know, the only shooter I was ever really any good at, I don't know, for Halo, probably the first Halo.
And what was your relationship with your father like?
Positive, but we played Bullfrog simulation games, so...
And how did that make you feel?
Well, what's going on here?
I don't know. You're going like, down memory lane, and I just feel really very much weird. Like I'm Fraser Crane here, like radio psychology.
I mean, we can have a true moment if you want, but I feel like it probably wouldn't be entertaining for a podcast audience.
Yeah. Okay, fine. So escape mode.
And Prison Architect is actually a lot closer to the games I played growing up as well, because okay. I grew up on the theme hospitals, the dungeon keepers.
Yeah, and a lot of people like mentioning like, oh, this looks like theme hospital and stuff like that. Like when
I'm totally okay with that. Yeah, because that was my jam when I was a kid.
Yeah,
I lost a lot of hours to those games.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, actually, because, you know, management sims, not really my type of game, but when it was like, oh, you can have the chance to design escape mode, it was like, oh, cool, because this is a bit more my speed, where it's like, oh, you know, you've got direct control over the character and things like that, and, you know, how would you like to, you know, what direction do you want to go with this? And we came up with, say, the skill system and having that kind of dual nature and, with, you know, balance that out with the prisoner needs, like your prisoner needs to eat still, they need to be clean, have clothing and stuff like that, otherwise you get negative effects.
Yeah, it's a real it's a real survival element kind of pushed into it that I think it might get a little overlooked by some people until they pass out in a tunnel and wake up in a medical bed and their tunnel has been filled in by guards.
Yeah, or like, you know, we do stuff to like let the player know, hey, you know,
hey, you're smelly.
You stink.
Go have a shower.
Yeah, I actually quite like, we actually have a sprite for a person in a bathrobe give you this advice. He's just like, hey, man. he's getting like in a towel and everything, and he's just like, what's this half-naked dude popping up? He's like, hey, man, get to the showers.
You stinky.
Otherwise, the guards will be searching you all the time. Okay, yeah, thanks, half-naked man.
Yeah.
The best advice in life comes from half-naked men.
Yeah.
That's not advice we want to put onto the internet, is it?
Of course it is.
If you're ever stuck on a question, just go out into the wild and find a half-naked man, and he will give you the most sage advice.
Yes, they're like hermit sages.
Yeah, exactly.
Not homeless people.
No.
Yeah, so we had those systems in there, and then we had we had a ton of fun, like just creating the character text boxes. One of the things I didn't like about the way the original was handled was that sometimes a guard would just come up to you, grab you and put you in your cell or whatever, and you'd be locked up and you're like, I don't know what I did. So we put the conversation boxes from the main game in so that you know, if you do something wrong, the guard will tell you what you have done wrong. So if you like, you know, if you...
You shouldn't have stabbed that man,
guy. But sometimes...
Stabbing is bad.
Sometimes it's like you'll walk into a place and, you know, you'll get escorted and the guard will go, stop trying to escape. And it's like, oh, that place is off limits. Okay, cool. You know, I understand now. But yeah, I got to write some fun texts for that as well. And there's a couple of Easter eggs in there. There's a Castlevania Easter egg in there.
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh my God. And the dealer as well. I love the dealer so much. The dealer was probably a highlight of my
career. The dealer who is super cool.
Yeah. The dealer, I decided to try and make him, you know, like one of these people that thinks he's cool kind of thing. Has anyone watched Dragon Ball Z? Like, has any, either of you?
I don't think anyone in the world has heard of Dragon Ball Z.
No, it's really obscure Japanese.
It's very, very niche. Like, maybe one or two people in the West might have heard of Dragon Ball Z.
Okay.
There's, I heard rumors of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For the uninitiated, this is a very high profile, you know, serious program. And there's a character in it called the Great Saiyan Man. And he just, like, before he does anything, he gives these massive poses and stuff like that. With all these big arm movements. And the highlight of my career is being able to post a Great Saiyan Man GIF into the design doc and go, make him look like this. I put that GIF in, I was just like, yep, I'm done.
So is that the reason you gesticulate like you do, Tom?
That's because I'm half Italian.
Oh, okay.
And everything is big arms and everything when you're Italian. And... But that is why I strike dynamic and exciting poses when I'm trying to get people hype.
Hype?
Yeah. You can't see it right now, but I've got my arms up and I'm doing everything.
He's in a handstand.
I'm doing the pose of joy.
It's really hard to imagine it. Yeah, it's really hard to mic when he's doing these poses, but we're managing.
Yeah.
I believe in you.
Thank you. It's working. It's working. Joe believes in me.
Yay. You shouldn't, but it's nice that you do.
Just so bluntly, you shouldn't.
Yeah, no.
Honestly.
I believe in you. Don't.
This is your first time meeting, Tom. We all learned this a while ago. Just prepare to be disappointed.
I mean, you sound like my wife.
Because she is also smart.
Yeah, she's pretty smart.
Yeah. Apart from
marrying me.
Yeah, yeah, there we go. Yeah, yeah. No, but we've done that joke before, though, so.
Have we?
Yeah, we did it. We were at CoxCon and we managed to talk our way onto the main stage.
Oh, that was crazy.
Yeah, we did our own show on the main stage and Tom was on one half of the screen and one half of the stage trying to do as many escape mode escapes as he could in the hour slot that we had. And then there was me with audience members on the other side of the stage trying to beat him for escapes. And we won, and that was glorious. And that was one of my favorite hours of my life, apart from this hour right now with you guys. Obvious.
What was the name of that convention?
CoxCon. It's Jesse Cox.
C-O-C-K.
Yeah, with an X and not
okay.
C-K. Yeah.
I was kind of confused for a second there.
Oh, we were at the penis convention. Yeah. No,
we were at the dicks.
Yeah, no.
Speaking of dicks.
No, that was fantastic. Jesse Cox has a little small convention.
You make him sound like a magician. The fantastic,
the amazing Jesse Cox. Yeah, he could.
Voila.
He could be that masked magician dude who spoiled all the secrets. But no, didn't he take his mask off 1 year? Anyway, that is not important.
Yeah, and he was just like, who the fuck is this guy?
It's this really, so he has this really sweet little convention in this place called Telford in the UK, which barely anyone in the UK has even heard of.
Jesus, don't go to Telford.
But the convention is great. And actually, the restaurant selection was also fantastic.
The restaurant just selection was good. When you got to Telford, it was all right. We were getting to Telford. It's just like, let's go down this backwater country lane.
And get stuck behind miles. A tractor for a million years. But anyway, he's got some amazing people on other streamers and influencers come down and they have panels and it's just a massive group of fans who all know each other and it's really nice and really sweet and the way they all speak to each other is just really lovely and supportive and they're really into rubber ducks because of some weird in-joke and
but everyone there was like really nice as well. The weird thing was it was like, oh, wow, this game's really cool and everything. Okay, cool, you're going to buy it. Oh, yeah, when's it coming out to PC? Don't know.
No clue, never, really.
Like,
oh, okay.
Okay, well, good luck. Thanks.
Bye. But then a couple of people are really enthusiastic about consoles, so that's fine.
Maybe we changed some minds. Maybe we change PC elitists into sane people.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Console master race, baby.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be anyone saying that.
We're going to upset some people, whichever side of the fence we land on here. So we like all the things on all the platforms, especially mobile. Yeah.
Silence.
I play some stuff on mobile, I guess. Yeah, a bit sometimes. Bridge Constructor Portal was really good on mobile.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That ate a lot of my time.
I emulate a lot of stuff because I'm a dirty, dirty.
Oh no, you can't.
Oh no.
It's okay. It's all homebrew.
You're allowed to emulate homebrew, and you're allowed to emulate things that you literally can't buy anymore. If it isn't on GOG, then it's all right.
No, is that the rule?
Yeah.
If it's not on GOG, then it's okay.
If it's not on GOG, then you can just steal it off the internet. Yeah. But if it is,
he sounds a little nervous that some of the stuff he has might have been on GOG.
No, you've got to search on there first, because they only cost about 99 pence on there anyway, you stingy beggar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know why I do. Actually, it's like miser. A challenge. It's like, how can I take this classic game and ruin it with touch controls?
You are destroying your own industry. And this is going to be all over the news tomorrow. You know, the future tomorrow when people are listening to it. Like, dev is in favor of stealing content off the internet. Yeah. Wants you to spend money on his game like some sort of hypocrite.
I know. I'm a terrible person. What have I done? What have I done?
Yeah, that's why I only steal movies, because we don't make those.
Oh, so that's okay. Thanks, Nat.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know the movie industry definitely isn't litigious. No. They're a lot less litigious than the games industry.
Yeah. Sure.
Oh my god.
You got that Infinity War download I asked you for?
Someone else. No.
Cool.
Yeah. So if you could just cut out all of the bits where we admit to breaking the law so Warner Brothers doesn't come for us, that'd be great.
There's just going to be whole sections of this interview being like,
boop, we cannot air this for legal reasons. They admit to beating a man to death. Please.
Is any of this arable?
No.
I just trash it all and start again. We told you like half an hour ago, just set it on fire.
Yeah, the director's going to be so upset.
This is like, your fault, Joe.
I haven't even told them we're doing the podcast and we've just come in and
we're hardly even talking about the fucking game.
Admitting to being co-conspirators of Jack the Ripper on the internet. And we've gone unknown for this whole time.
Yeah.
The good thing is nobody listens to my show, so none of this will be heard.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Yeah. That's exactly what we want when we're marketing a product. So great.
Yeah.
See, we got you.
That's what we look for. In our hardcore podcast.
So do you guys have any questions about Prison Architect or Escape Mode that we could provide insight to?
Who is hosting who here?
See, I don't know, because I feel like we've rambled on for ages and I'm like, but this is their show. Should
you guys get to say something?
Do you guys want to speak on your show? Know.
Cole, do you want to talk at all?
You're making my job easier is all I'm saying.
I mean, we could just like play it out for the next 10, 15 minutes with buy the game, 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 buy the game.
I feel like we could probably get a really good like four-piece harmony going on as well at the moment.
Buy the game, buy the game, buy the game, buy the game.
Every now somebody just has to slip in and say please.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of questions, but you guys have covered so much of everything without us even asking.
Just talk.
We do.
We need more interviewees like this, though.
We do. You two are amazing.
Oh, thank you.
We're just showing off.
No, I'm not. I get told off for this all the time. Like, halfway through the day, someone will just scream from the other end of the dev room, Tom, can you shut up, please?
That's fine. People don't get tired of my shtick, so I don't hear that.
The best thing is, if people yell at you to shut up now, you could just be like, no, the SML podcast likes me.
Yeah. They're like the best ones.
Yeah.
You idiot. You shut up.
where's your SML podcast,
yeah. Phil? Tom, you're literally fired. Get out. Yeah. You shut up. Yeah.
The only thing I could think to ask is, after Escape Mode and after Prison Architect is now out on the Switch, what's coming next from Double 11?
Ooh. Penis Simulator 2019.
Fuck yes. Wait,
So for Prison Architect, we are going to keep supporting it going forward. We have every intention on, as long as people want new stuff for Prison Architect console editions, we will still keep pumping that stuff out to people. Because,
and you can show us that you want to keep having more content by buying the game.
And tweeting us at 11LTD and saying, hey, give us some more DLC and stuff. We will keep supporting that going forward. We have a big old project coming out towards the end of the year, which we are not allowed to tell you about, unfortunately, which I would love to start screaming from the rooftops because I'm really excited about working on it, but we unfortunately cannot.
That in itself has repercussions on what we can actually do with Prison Architect and everything like that, but we do still want to keep doing Prison Architect stuff. There's a very strong want there.
We love it. The audience is very engaged for it. They just want more stuff all of the time because there's people playing it now who've been playing it since it came out and since it went out on early access on PC, who have bought it on different consoles and keeping going on it.
And I'm hoping that by the looks of it, I think it'll be a successful Switch launch. Like, will give us more reason to, like, we always have to look at stuff and say, you know, is this feasible and everything, but the Switch launch I think has gone well enough that we can reasonably keep supporting Prison Architect. But there's also other stuff coming, Nat, that it is to do with Prison Architect, which will be announced in the future, which we haven't mentioned yet.
But
that's a thing we can't actually. we're mega embargoed on that as well because.
I thought you said we could talk.
I thought about it and we actually can't.
So you basically to raise up Cole and Joe's expectations.
Yeah, there's a thing happening next week, and that if we leak it to you guys, we're not just breaking our own rules; we're breaking someone else's rules. But there is some more exciting Prison Architect news happening next week as well. It isn't a new DLC or anything like that, but it's mildly exciting for us, and it will be exciting for some players as well.
Yes.
A prisoner plushie? Can we have a prisoner plushie?
Oh, no, but I really want to make those. I really want to make the prison dog plushies because I think they're good and really well.
That would be cool. Yeah, prison dog plushies.
We actually have a little internal thing that we've been doing as well. It's, you know, there's nothing to really talk about, but there's a little, we've been playing with setting up a rapid prototyping team within the company so we can pitch our own game ideas, our own IPs. And I think, how many was it we did in the last round? Was it like 8 games or something?
Maybe more.
Yeah, idea is that anyone in the company can pitch a game to the company, and then the rapid prototyping team will knock out like a quick dirty prototype of the core mechanics in a week, and then at the end of the season we all get together and just have a party and play all of the games, so hopefully that will turn into something in the future, because 11 primarily work on other people's IPs. So we started off with Little Big Planet for PS Vita.
My first game!
Yeah! Oh, and congrats. We kind of work on those sorts of things. So we take fantastic games from one platform and make them run really well on a different platform. That's kind of our thing.
I would just like to point out that Little Big Planet PS Vita was a new game.
It was
not a port. Despite what some detractors might have said.
Yeah.
It was wholly original, despite the fact that it initially started as a port.
It started as one thing and then became a thing of its own as well. But that, at the moment, that's kind of primarily what we do. Like, a lot of our bread and butter comes from Goat Simulator on console.
Hang on. I've got a Little Big Planet thing that I don't think anyone knows about.
Oh, okay.
There's an Easter egg in Little Big Planet Vita that no one has discovered.
Oh.
That I'm quite happy to just blur out.
Go on, then.
Let's hear it.
There's a saw blade, decoration thing, and it kills Sackboy in a totally unique way. All the other ways that you can kill Sackboy in the create mode, it's got this like unique killer, and no one has put two and two together and going, oh, hang on, this sword kill this saw blade kills him in this special way. So what you actually have to do to get that is you get one of them and you make it like ginormous, and there's this tiny little dot somewhere on that saw blade where you can grab it and you can get the modifier to kill Sackboy in this special way. And we thought, oh yeah, The Little Big Planet community are very good at finding Easter eggs and everything. They'll find this right away. That game's been out for like 8 years. Ain't no one found it. So there you go.
Well, what's wow. the what's the kit? The killy wear then, what's the...
He goes, yow! It's like he's been spiked up the bum.
Oh, so that was it. What, was that like a completely new animation and stuff that he did just like, for that Easter egg and like no one has seen it?
No one found it, which
That does not all sound like a tremendous waste of time, Tom.
It wasn't a tremendous waste of time. It was nice because we used those sword blades everywhere. Don't attract my fucking Easter egg. See what I have to put up with every day. Like, look at this thing I did. Oh, it's shit, that.
No, I didn't say that. Just a waste of time. No, we're kidding. It's all jokes. All jokes.
Sorry, go on. Go talk about Goat Simulator. I'll just sit in my corner.
No, I mentioned it. Good. Okay. Everyone loves Goat Simulator.
Is more Goat Simulator coming? Could we expect more goats?
Do you want more Goat Simulator, Joe? Always. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you're goddamn rule. Right I do.
There's always a
Goat Simulator has saved me a lot of time of interacting with my kids. So
people's kids love Goat Simulator.
It is my 5-year-old's favorite game.
It's just the worst.
Children are
terrible. Both
I love it. I genuinely thought that Waste of Space expansion was a really good expansion.
That's because you're a sci-fi nerd.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. It's because it was just full of references that I got
Please
and enjoyed.
Tell me about your Star Trek collection.
No. I did something bad the other day.
What'd you do?
Dan got a Picard bobblehead for his birthday and I knocked it off the table and I chipped Picard's head.
Oh, my God. Sacrilege.
It's really bad and I haven't fixed it yet.
You are a monster.
Yeah.
Is this because Janeway's your favourite?
Yeah.
You monster.
Yeah. I mean, Picard's my second favourite, but Janeway.
But no room
is
for seconds in Nat's house.
No, I just, if it isn't my favourite thing, I just smash it on the ground.
Yeah. You would appreciate my middle daughter's name if Janeway's your favourite.
Oh. You would appreciate her what?
Her name.
Her middle name. Or her full name, yeah.
Go on.
It's Catherine Jane.
Oh, well, there we go. I'm going to have a baby and just to steal that child name now. Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a lot of effort to go
I think that's
into.
Also the first time I've ever mentioned my kids' real names on the show.
Oh, no, you just doxed your own kids?
No. Yeah. Because I always refer them as 1, 2, and 3.
Child 1. It is dinner time. Please go and clean your hands.
This is number 1. Number 1, number 2, and number 3.
That's a great name, though. You should be very proud of yourself.
Yeah, I am.
I like it. I approve wholeheartedly.
Because she was my favorite captain, too.
Yeah!
Does that mean that's your favorite child?
No, I don't have favorites.
I have a favorite
Although you
cat.
Wouldn't believe me, the other day I was putting him to bed, and I was like, whoever's the last one in bed gets a spanking, just as a joke. And number 3 just like pops up. And remember, she's only 5. She's like, you can't spank me. I'm your baby and I'm your favorite daughter. And I was like,
wow. Wow, that is some impressive emotional manipulation for a very young child.
What do you do in that position? Because if you tell her she's not your favorite, you're going to hurt her feelings. But if you tell her she is, the other two hear you.
You just put them in a room all by themselves and shut the door.
You just give them broken pool cues and tell them to fight it out until one favorite is left. You're Call right. back.
Talk right with it, until you know.
Yay.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, with you mentioning ports and stuff as well, like I've seen lately a lot of people giving ports and remasters and things a lot of hate, and it's
I think it's because people have been burnt because they're a game that they love that's been, you know, not out on a current gen platform, and they can't really play it anywhere unless they crack out like an old PS2 or something, and then they hear, oh, hey, X game is coming out on this platform, and they're like, yeah, and then they get the port and it is some hot garbage. And I think this is the problem, is that port, people just assume lazy port, and it's not always the case, and it's like, it's really not the case with our stuff.
It's so annoying. We put loads of effort into our ports. Like, I feel like every time we port something, it's always better than the original.
Don't say that. No,
or improve.
You're going to upset people.
I'm not going to upset people. They give us the job to do the port. They'd be pretty pissed off if we went, yeah.
Oh yeah, now there's shit. You know,
it's not as good as, you know. It's worse.
We made much, it worse. Much worse.
There's one port you guys did that I disagree is better than the original, and that is the Harry Potter collection, because it's only on PlayStation and nothing else. And that hurts my feelings.
We didn't publish that one, so there we go.
It wasn't worse, was it?
It's worse because it's not on Xbox. How's that?
Yeah, but it wasn't worse.
But it
worse,
was though, really was nice because the remaster was like...
It's all shiny.
It looks really pretty. Was it the lighting that like really did it? Because I feel like they
No, it was a buttload of texture work.
I know they did a lot of textures, but didn't they do lighting
and texture work beautiful. Got a big bump up in that game, and we ironed out some of like control issues as well, and
When we got the box copies through, I fired it up at home and I was like, oh, this is so pretty.
Yeah,
I wanted to play the remaster so much because I love Lego Harry Potter games.
Well, you just have to keep waiting, aren't you?
Or buy PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
I have a PlayStation. I just hate playing PlayStation. I hate that controller so much.
Well, just buy... Well, I mean, not officially, but just buy a third-party controller and...
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, I see those. I'm like, oh, man, that's so cool. They've taken the PlayStation controller and put it in an Xbox shell or whatever and made it work and everything. And it's like, maybe I'll get one. And it's like $1,000.
Just to be a contrarian, I'm a big DualShock fan. I like how they feel. I've got little wee girl hands and it just feels nice in my hands.
I have rheumatoid disease and the PlayStation controllers are actually harder for me to manipulate.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, I have crooked fingers too, though. So, like, because of the disease, like, causes your joints to twist.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the Xbox controller is more comfortable because it's just the way that the buttons are laid out is more in line with where my fingers are already crooked.
That makes sense.
Have you looked into the accessible controller that Microsoft released? That looked really cool.
We did an interview with, the head of Apple Gamers about that, but I don't have any plans to get the accessible controller just because it's a little more excessive than what my current needs are.
Oh, yeah. Did anyone watch the video or the GIF of the unboxing for it?
That was amazing.
Oh, it blew my mind. It doesn't, you know, it's brilliant that the controller itself is about accessibility, it's about usability, and it's about if you don't have your full hand motion, you can use the controller. But how good is that if it's an impossible to open box? Mm-hmm. So what they've done is they basically made this amazing, fantastic tab system where you can just pull a little tab off and it unfolds itself.
Oh,
and then the next
layer
down, you lift a little flap and then it all folds out and it's, oh, there's nothing difficult and there's nothing fiddly and there's no blister packaging. And it's just, I watched that GIF and I was like, this is the most satisfying unboxing thing I've ever seen in my life.
I wish every packaging was designed like that because even just getting into the fucking cereal in the morning is a nightmare. Right.
Yeah. Blister packs can just get in the sea.
Oh my God, the worst thing in the world is when you buy a pack of, a pair of scissors and they're in goddamn extremely hard blister packaging that you need a pair of scissors to open. Yeah. What is the point?
Yeah.
This is why I keep my husband at close range. I'm just like, I need you to open all the things for me.
My wife likes to keep me as far away as possible and try to open the jars herself. She will open a jar in secret and I can hear it wherever I am in the house and I will run downstairs,
cry it out of her hands open.
And open it for her. I'm like, there you go, I did that for you. And she's like, just fuck off, just let me do it myself. Like, I didn't need your help.
Tom, stop being the patriarchy.
I am the patriarchy.
I had that attitude for like the first 2 years. After I was diagnosed, I was just like, fuck off, leave me alone. I could do everything. I would still move furniture and cook full meals. And now it's like, it's been about 5 years since I was diagnosed. And I pick stuff up and I go, this isn't worth the energy I'm about to expend. And I just begrudgingly hand it to my husband and go, your turn. Deal with my shit.
Yeah. No, that's the way that, you know, it should be.
I do the same thing, but I'm, you know, pretty able-bodied. I'm just very lazy.
Yeah.
I just sit on my chair.
I'm with you.
Husband,
I'm just
bring
lazy.
Me things. Yeah, I am. I'm a very lazy. I'm a garbage person.
Yeah, you're a terrible person.
I am.
That was the best part of my knee injury fiasco, though. Like, I can get up and walk now, at least. I use my cane, but I can walk around again. But for the first, like, 3 weeks, I was using a walker.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do anything alone. And a little part of me, as independent and hateful as I am about doing shit on my own, was just like, I can't wait for dinner time because he has to deliver it to me. Yeah.
Bring it to me, slave boy.
Feed me grapes and fan my face.
Yeah. That was fantastic for 3 months.
I was sick for a week about a month ago. My husband just looked after me for a week, and that's probably the happiest week of my life.
When my wife, when swine flu was a thing and my wife got sick,
I got the swine flu.
Yeah, I locked her in a room and didn't go anywhere near her.
Oh my God, you're horrible.
I
you just put a hazmat suit on and went, you're on your own, darling.
Put a hazmat suit on. Here's your fucking toast. Don't come near me.
Oh my God. You are terrible. You're like
pushing toast crumbs through the
keyhole. My husband is so much better than you are.
Did I get swine flu?
Thank you, Dan. No. Thank you for being fine. Dan went out to a place really far away without a car to get me medicine for my swine flu.
I go out plenty for my wife. Yeah. Like midnight runs to Boots and everything, like pharmacy, just being like, I need this thing. Vagisil or whatever.
This lady thing. Yeah. Oh my God. Please don't let her listen to this podcast. You're awful. This is horrible.
I
lovely Dan, who's being showered in compliments, will get to listen to this because he's fantastic and I love him. And your wife will have to live in the shadows because you're an awful person.
She would listen to it. I'll say that I love her and she's amazing just to cover my own back, but there's no chance that she'd listen to this.
Yeah.
To be fair, no one should listen to this show.
Like, generally, or this episode in particular?
Generally.
You're so delightfully self-deprecating. You just, like, we've been waffling on for ages now. And then you'll just pop in for, like, a second and go, this is all bullshit. Everything.
No one listens. This is garbage. Listen. Just give up.
You are like the silent Bob of this experience. You just come in after saying nothing for ages. Boom. Love it.
Just comes in and Garfields the place up and then leaves.
I'm enjoying this. Normally, I'm the one who does the majority of the talking on the show, so I just get to sit back and enjoy a show for once.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll do it again, except we'll leave Nat behind.
Yeah.
And you can do the normal thing and talk. And we'll get to have a conversation instead of talking about Star Trek and all that
I'm
shit.
I'm pretty sure that when they go back and go back to the editing, Tom, this, like, 95% you talking.
Is it shite? Yeah. I don't know.
We'll find out.
It's adorable. They think you're going to edit it.
Yeah, that is cute.
This is just a 47-hour long podcast this week.
Throw it up on the internet and let people make of it what they will.
Oh, thank you. I just, the one person who reads, listens to it is like a Kotaku editor and then just like blows the lid off this whole thing.
Yeah. Indie game dev emulates.
They swear loads and they slag off all of their IP creators.
Pirate movies.
Games and pirate movies, but really like the boxing for the new Xbox accessibility controller.
Yeah, so we can't be that terrible.
Yeah.
People. Yeah.
Yeah. But we did sit down with the patriarchy, so we are at least semi-woke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, you did talk about Prison Architect as well, so business had been taken care of.
Yeah, we did our marketing shill work.
Yeah, is there anything else we need to shill?
Shill. No, really.
No, I feel like I have it covered with Buy the Game, Buy the Game,
Buy the Game. Buy the Game, Buy the Game, Buy the Game. Buy the Game. Yeah.
I mean,
just buy it. Yeah. That's the thing.
Honestly, like it was so nice seeing that on the charts. Like I felt like I might do a little cry. And if it keeps going up the charts, I might like post myself crying.
Yeah. So, I mean, all three people listening to this podcast, if you could go away and buy the game and punch us up one place in the charts, at least we can then die happy.
Yeah.
I mean, the real question is, though,
Cole and Joe.
How high does it have to be in the charts to get the picture of an ugly cry?
Oh, top 10, surely.
Top 10, and I will do
and the then number one. Number one is crying in a ball in the shower. So. Yeah. But strategically covered with legs and shampoo bottles and stuff. Yeah, it's got to be tasteful.
Tasteful crying.
Oh, God. Yeah. And this is not going on the main work Twitter account, by the way, because I would like to keep my job.
We've done so many, like, teen-rated videos.
Teen streams.
This is just, like, six or seven streams worth of pent up filth and fire coming out now. Just like, ah, shit, fuck.
Stop. I know, listen, I know they said you're allowed to swear, but it still makes me clamp up and go like, ah, no, you're breaking all the PR rules, yeah. Tom. You're not screen ready.
I'm definitely not screen ready. I look like shit. God.
Oh, my Lord.
This was a mistake. This was a glorious mistake.
Yeah. This was, and I am so happy it happened.
Anytime, man. Anytime you want me to just sit and talk.
Yeah, we'll just, I mean, we'll just come on for an hour every week and just be horrible to each other if that's what you want.
I'm about to lose my job as co-host.
I'm about to lose my job as host. What are you talking about?
So welcome to the Nat and Tom show.
Nat and Tom podcasting it together. That's the theme tune. I'm going to record that.
I'm glad you did the theme tune, because as we learned on our journey to CoxCon, every time I do a theme tune or a song, it's to the structure of Make a Man Out of You, but from Mulan.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, no.
Now it's time for Nat and Tom on the SML podcast.
Yeah.
Well, you have a composer in house. See if see if he could whip up a theme song for next week.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Jingle. Yeah, we need a jingle.
That would be the next career highlight. Not the Great Sayer Man gif. It would then be, right, we need to do our own song. It's got to be like Make a Man Out of You from Mulan.
It's got to be.
Let's get down to business, guys.
Yeah. Okay. This is just weird.
Yeah.
This is bringing up a lot of weird feelings for me. I'm questioning a lot of my decisions so far.
So what's your relationship like with your mother?
Oh, awful. She's a terrible human being. And I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast, because she is actually a lovely angel person.
Oh, my Lord.
Now, fun fact, Nat's mum, or mom.
Mom.
For you people across
the Natalie's place. Mom.
Natalie's mom.
Natalie's mom bakes cakes.
Is credited in most of our games, well, a couple of our more recent games, because she bakes cakes.
And she sends them into the office, and they're always amazing.
Yeah, that's such a frequency that we're just like, yep, she needs a credit in the game. Yeah. So, you know, well done, Nat's mum.
Yeah. Mama Wicks making cakes. That's her podcast. Jingle. Just Mama Wicks making cakes.
Let's get down to cake making.
I think...
As we start to bake.
Oh, no, I'm broken. Okay, I need to take a breath.
I hope that's my future, that someday number one gets to be a game developer, and that she puts me in the credits for baking cakes or making David bake the cakes for me.
I mean, hey, if you've got to bake your way to the top, you do it. Like, you know, bake those cakes, get them in mouths, and get in the credits.
I have just noticed the time, and I'm DMing a D&D session in like half an hour.
No,
so I need to go get my nerd on and read the session notes.
I need to go back to my children.
Oh, I have nothing in my life, so D&D is going to be enough for me.
This is the last thing I do before I go and live in a mud hut for 3 days with my in-laws.
Oh God, children.
Yeah.
Well, you need to take a screaming pillow with you.
I do. Yeah, I told you I'm not going to be able to have a screaming pillow. I'm just going to have to dig a hole in the ground
and scream into the hole.
And if it doesn't get any better, I'm just going to have to make the hole bigger and put my in-laws in that.
Oh, we could do that. Doesn't sound illegal or weird. No.
No. I mean, the copper might ask, but if I tell him they were my in-laws, I think he'd understand.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Well, since you two have stuff to do, how about you give us some final plugs on what the game is, where they can get it, how much is it, and where can people keep in touch with you two?
Absolutely. So we've got Prison Architect out at the moment. It's just launched for Nintendo Switch, which is available in the US for about $30. It includes the two previously released console DLCs, All Day and a Night and Psych Ward. You can also pick those up on PS4 and Xbox One. Escape Mode DLC is coming, like, oh, it's out now. Oh, because we're in the future, on PS4, and it's coming at the end of the week for Xbox One. And there's more exciting things coming very, very soon, so please keep your eyes peeled. You can find out more information about us at our website, which is 111.com, or follow us on Twitter, which is at 111LTD. Spiel.
And you can You can follow us on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. You can follow us independently on Twitter. I am at CrazyNatLady.
And I am at Tom Pedalino. That is the shittest Twitter handle because of my stupid surname.
Yeah, not as good as mine. Yeah. Eat it.
Just, I'm like, come back to my desk and just see your Twitter handle printed out over an iPhone 4. Just like, eat it, you bitch.
Yeah.
Eat
it.
I'm oh, my so Lord.
Sorry for all of this, John Cole. Yeah, you're sorry, such John. Nice humans. And we've come we've on and just we just peed all over your lovely podcast.
This is fantastic.
I have absolutely loved this past hour. Natalie, Tom, you two were amazing to have on chatting with us. Please come back again sometime.
Oh, my God. We absolutely will. Like, anytime. We're just going to hack into your systems and just come on to future podcasts anyway, like, even when we're not invited.
Can we just do it, even if we don't have a game to plug or whatever? Just come you on, just so I can vent.
Which is your
I feel like I've been made whole again, just like I've got all the bile out.
Yeah, we need
You're allowed to curse again.
Yeah, we need to come back for some colleague counseling. I think that's what we've achieved today.
Yeah.
Like in about 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to get a message on Skype and it's going to be Tommy. He's going to be like, I've had to do a whole bunch of team streams and I need to get it out of my system.
Yeah.
And Dale's going to be like, yeah, we film on Thursday. So we record on Thursday.
Yeah.
I say film because we stream on Twitch when we record on Thursdays. But yeah, come on the show. He's just going to crash. It's just going to be like a 15-minute long expletive laden.
Hey, I mean, Tom, I heard you had something to talk about today. What did you have on your mind? Fuck.
Like you guys aren't even hitting record, just letting Tom get it out of his system.
Yeah.
It'd be like on The Office when they tell him they're giving him a Twitter account and he's just typing all of his thoughts into a Word document. Yeah, Tom, everyone's listening to this and really agrees with everything
everyone
you're saying.
About
yeah.
What you have to say, Tom.
Ooh, 40,000 people are listening to this. Definitely.
That'd be nice to have that many listeners.
Right.
And on that note.
Yeah.
At this on that point, note.
We have you a 40.
On that bombshell.
Oh, man. I have no idea how to end this. We never even really started this show.
Speaking of dicks.
Yeah. Speaking of dicks, we're going to take
your penis conventions.
Penis Simulator for 2019. Coming soon.
Oh, okay.
Oh, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with more show in a few minutes. Natalie, Tom, again, it was amazing having you two on chatting. Do either of you have any final words to wrap this up?
Just we love you, bye.
Yeah,
love you, bye.
To you and for everyone.
And love you, bye.
Yeah, we're gonna cut. Is that it? Are we gonna cut now?
I don't know. Do I just hang up? No, you hang up.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for sticking around. Thanks again to Tom and Natalie at Double 11 for coming on and joining us and basically commanding the show for a good hour plus. That was a really, really fun time. We do have more show to take care of, though, and we're starting things off. Pernell Vaughn, you're here. How are things going?
Doing okay, though. Now I hear you had a Double 11 on the show. You should have had me on for a solid 24. I love mathematics. Having a good time. Just summer is doing its thing, which is surprising me because in my recent memory, I always felt like summer, it got hot and stayed hot from like June through. And it kind of, I would say, at least tapered off in August, not necessarily stayed hot, but just tapered off. Now I feel like we're getting the hottest time now. This is the hottest day I feel like we've had all summer.
It's the comeback.
Yeah, still, I don't know. I'm still here, but it's just weird.
Is your phone acting up again?
I don't know. I didn't. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's all in. Maybe it's all in the air. Maybe Summer heard us talking about it and got really pissed off.
Maybe Summer's like, "Listen, you bastards! Don't you dare shit talk me."
I'm working real hard here. I'm sweating bullets, sweating profusely as I try to make this season work for you, piss ants. And this is how you repay me?
No, I'm making you sweat profusely. Trying to bring the season to you piss hands.
In a nutshell, Papa Summer. Oh,
seven. Oh, nine. Man.
But toasty. It's way too toasty. And my AC bill's getting up there. But otherwise, I've been playing some good games and trying to make sense of new good games and buying too many board games that I haven't played. I can tell you, I created a list of all the board games I own. It's too many. And then I broke it down by games I haven't played yet. If you thought my video games was bad, oh, dear God, no.
Do you want to hear my list of board games?
Zero.
HeroQuest.
Well, HeroQuest is a great game, though.
Goddamn right it is. That's the only one I have, and I'm okay only having one.
Yeah, I can't fault you for that. I played a friend's copy of HeroQuest, and I loved it. I just got a copy of Rajas of the Ganges, or the Ganges, and Sorcerer in Stones, and then a Mystic Veil expansion. There are too many board games. There are too many video games. There's just too much entertainment in this world.
There are too many games.
Too many games. But doesn't mean we don't want to keep getting more of them.
Damn right.
Listening to this episode, yeah, you know, just submit more review copies. But
rumor has it we've got some good ones this episode.
I wonder who said that. Who is this rumor mill? And why is he spilling the beans?
I can't tell, or else he wouldn't be a secret source.
Touche. Touche. You bastard.
You ready to talk video games, though?
Let's have a ball, friend.
Cool, because the first game to talk about tonight is called God Wars, The Complete Legend, developed by Kadokawa Games, published by NIS America. It's releasing September 4th on the Switch for $39.99. Discover Japan's untold legends. God Wars, The Complete Legend is a tactical RPG that explores the untold history of Japan through folklore and tactical combat. Discover the secret paths and ultimate destinies of Kaguya and her friends inside the Labyrinth of Yomi. Pernell, did I get any of those names right?
Probably not, because I'm stuck at them, too. The characters say them, at least, which gives me a little bit more of a, you know, less of an excuse to screw it up. But let's just go with yes, you did okay. So, yay. Worth pointing out, as funny as this may sound in this episode, is that this is yet another case of game I originally purchased on old system, never opened it. They got a review copy for your show, and I'm playing it on here on the much better Switch. And funny enough, I went and looked online to see if there were any particular differences between the two versions, because, you know, I never played my personal Vita copy. And apparently the Vita copy was glitchy as far as battles went, and as far as, like, you could win a battle and then go to save your game, and the game would just, like, crash.
Nice. Weird. Always like good.
That. But it's worth noting that on the version I am playing on the Switch, I have never experienced that problem. So I'm going to wager that that particular bug does not exist on this game, at least not on the digital version. But I just wanted to point that out for people who went online and was like, oh God, they said this game is crashing. I haven't experienced that. But as for the game itself, it's gameplay-wise, I have to say I've been enjoying it quite a bit. So this game is a tactical RPG that is extremely reminiscent of Final Fantasy Tactics. Now, some might say, Final Fantasy Tactics came out, what, like 1997? Why the hell are you bringing that game up? And the reason being is because, in my opinion at least, with the exception of maybe Disgaea, there has not been a tactical RPG that has come close to touching that for me, as far as like the job systems and stuff went, skills, the way you learn skills. This game did a really good job of that. So as far as it goes, you have a main skill, which can be equipped, a sub skill, which can be equipped, and a unique skill, which is based on the character that you are using. So as you meet new people and they join your party, also, unlike Final Fantasy VII, there are no like generic units. Everybody is a hero type character that you meet up with and they join your party. But every one of those characters has their own unique job that they come with. They can't change it. They can't unequip it, but they have skills unique only to them that they learn, they gain experience and they can learn. In addition to that, the main job that they get is what acquires pretty much all JP that you earn in combat. And as you learn and get JP, you can boost skills under the actual job itself. So if you want to learn a couple skills that are available on the skill tree, you can use JP to learn them. And then depending on the skill you learn, there may be level event that says that once you reach level 2 of this job, you can unlock these advanced skills that exist on that skill tree. The sub job is another job that you might have on your available options that you can equip. And it gets, let's say, like a half the JP job points that you would get in combat. And those job points, in addition to learning skills, are also how you level the jobs up. And depending on the combinations of jobs you have leveled up and whether it's a male or a female character, there are other jobs you'll unlock that are more so advanced jobs, which gives you new skills and new passive buffs. And it is freaking awesome to mix and match these things. The only downside, of course, to those is that, I guess, kind of like any game like this, there are some job skills that are clearly superior to others, maybe resulting in you possibly ignoring some jobs. In addition to that, a weird plus/minus is that unique jobs have unique skills, which means some have more or less than others, which means that there may be some characters where you'll come across them, and unless you really like the way that character grunts in combat, you may find yourself immediately saying, you know, once somebody better comes along, I don't want to deal with this chump, because their unique skill, their unique job tree will ultimately make them worse than this other guy. Unless the stats are more so into balancing out for you, in which case, whatever.
Some grunts better than others?
Oh, but of course. Of course, I like the one character's grunt where, like, because the other characters have voices in combat, though some are a little bit more repetitive than others. But what there's like a character named Kuma who's just a bear, sort of bear man thing. I guess he's considered one of the myriad gods in the game or just an animal being. But whenever he gets tested, he goes, Kuma! And he goes, Kuma! Kuma! Like, I love this. He just says his name. He's like, bear!
So he's bear. A Pokemon.
He's pretty much a Pokemon. Yes, his name is Kuma, which is pretty much Japanese for bear. And he says Kuma when he strikes. So he just goes, bear, 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 indeed.
Suck at Final Fantasy Tactics.
We got a bear who says bear in this game.
By the way, if you want to feel old, I want you to know right now that Final Fantasy Tactics is old enough to drink.
And it probably needs to deal with the storyline that comes through that fucker. Oh my god, that story is rough. Really rough. It's one of the few, Statue of Limitations is over. It's one of the few games I can think of where it does not end well for the main character or for pretty much anybody. It's just a very tragic game. And you're supposed to feel like you accomplished something when you're done. And I guess you kind of did, but really it's just depressing. But, back to this game, map exploration involves you going from a series of points on a map. So as you need to get from location to location, you will pretty much click on the new location on the map and your character will walk there. Every once in a while, though, a new location will pop up in the middle of the route on your way there, surprising you with a bump-a-bump battle. Battles are pretty cool in this game. I mean, there's nothing special about them. Like, if you've played like Final Fantasy Tactics, you've played this as far as battles go. Enemies have pretty much different stats attributed to them related to elemental defenses and elemental resistances, and then attacks, defense points, and things of that nature. And there's also an impurity stat, which pretty much seems to map to like how much enemies want to approach you. Like if your impurity is very high, you are likely to be targeted by enemies more so than anything. That's the vibe I got from impurity. When it's like, raise your impurity. Like, okay, now everybody wants to fight your face. Oh, fudge. And there's a skill that some skills will let you lower impurity, which I'm assuming is the opposite, where it's like, okay, you take the aggro off of this guy and they'll go attack somebody who's a higher, the next level of impurity down or something like that. But It's just a genuinely quality game. I enjoy playing around with it. I like the fact that it is, as far as combat goes, it is very traditional as far as like dealing with elevation in the sense that physical attacks do more damage if you're higher up on the terrain than the other guys. There are terrains that will make you walk, take up more of your ability to walk. So if you have a movement range of 3, but if you go over the wrong terrain, it might take double the movement to get across it. Or you might have like a certain stat, like a jump stat requirement to jump across a certain like area of land, like across a river or something like that. I like those things. I enjoy the fact that random encounters, which is usually the way you level up your characters in combat, aren't so much a thing in this game. In a lot of strategy RPGs like this, in order to initiate random combat to do some grinding, you have to walk back and forth on the map in hopes that a random encounter shows up. But what this game has is shrines. There are different shrines scattered throughout the world that you could come across. And when you come across them, they offer you 2 different things. You can either worship, which is where you drop money to donate to the shrine. And when you do so, you'll get a temporary stat boost, good for like 1 or 2 battles, 1 battle. And as you donate money, you'll slowly increase a general pot for the shrine. And as you break, once you reach like goals, you'll level up the shrine and the benefit for donating to the shrine will increase. So you're giving them money to get buffs, but the more money you give them, the better your buffs eventually become. So it's kind of a nice little thing that you feel like you're not just giving money away. It's actually going towards a greater goal, better buffs. Yeah. And the other thing you get is jobs in the sense of like job requests. So instead of having to deal with random encounters on the map, you'll go to the job center. It'll say, hey, we need you to take out these bandits that are on the road. Do you want to do it? You'll get a reward for it. And here's a recommended level to accomplishment. You go, yes, let's do this. And they'll just immediately take you to the battle. And it'll be a bunch of jerks you can kick the crap out of and boost your stats up so that you can kind of level up and grind as you need to without having to kind of walk in circles hoping for some, you know, meteor shopping chocobos to show up and murder everybody. It's kind of nice in that way. It's easier to actually kind of control who you're fighting too by doing so. But all in all, I've been enjoying the game. The plot hasn't necessarily been like hooking me, like making me want to jump through hoops for it, but I do like the characters enough. I do enjoy playing around and seeing what's happening. It starts out simple enough as far as like the game goes. Your main character is about, well, one of the main characters is about to be sacrificed, and you're not about to be. She's in prison with the intent to be sacrificed, and you rescue her. That's Kaguya, the girl you mentioned earlier. And then that triggers a journey of her just outright trying to figure out, why the hell am I supposed to be getting sacrificed in the first place? This is stupid. Let me talk to mom about it. And then that is the adventure of you and your friends, or you and your initial group of friends, going off and finding out, trying to figure out the truth of this whole situation and why it is as it is. And of course, every once in a while, you'll just find a guy who just says, hey, you have a cool jacket. I'll come with you on your journey. Or I have this thing. You might want to use it, but I'm not going to just lend it to you. I'm going to take it with me and join your party. And that's kind of how all your friends come along. All
you in all, have a cool jacket. I'm going to join your party.
I'm being a little bit general there, but it's overall pretty, like, it's still like kind of light in that regard. It's not just like a convoluted reason for someone to join. It may be something that feels as simple as, I like your jacket. I'll come with you. Sure. All right. I just want to bust faces. Yeah. We need more games like that. I just want to be able to legally beat people up. I'm joining your party. All right. Come on. We need more pugilists. Come along, man. I just want to get drunk with adults. I'll come with you. All right, we got sake in the car. Let's go. We're up Adventure Time, baby.
Let's roll.
Let's roll. We can do this thing. I just want to hang out with somebody that knows how to cook a good meal. Oh, we got a cook in the party. Well, I'm hanging out with you guys. 3 square meals a day. Shit. I'll beat some guys up for that. This is untapped RPG potential. We're talking about it right now. What are you fighting for? 3 square meals a day. What about saving the world? I ain't thinking about that.
Fuck that. I'm hungry.
I'm hungry. My world is paying my bills. Let's do this thing. Put some food on the table. Let's go fight an evil emperor or something, or a rat jackal. I don't know. Whatever he is. He's angry and I need money.
Oh, my Lord.
Scored him JP.
JP. Oh, God. So God Wars, $40 on this one. What do you think of it?
I think it's a legitimate buy. It's got a lot of content. It harkens back to some very quality RPGs. And to put it in perspective, there's a lot of games, even not a lot, but there's a game actually coming out soon that I remember reading about that is actually trying to hark on the whole. We got Final Fantasy Tactics under our plate. I mean, people want that kind of game. And I'm telling you, that game exists right now in this cart. It's worth playing. And it's a good time, especially for $40.
Nice. Yeah, I might have to pick this one up myself. It looks really good.
I think you'll like it. If you do, you'll have to tell me. That way you'll give me some validation on whether my review was solid in your eyes or not. God, tell me.
I believe in you, Purnell.
It's the heart of the cards, isn't it?
Because you like my jacket.
That is true. That's a sweet jacket.
Oh, shit. One other game for you to talk about today. That is called 2064 Read Only Memories Integral, developed and published by Midboss, released July 26th on the Switch for 2064. When Turing, the world's first sapient machine, teams up with a struggling journalist, the unlikely duo find themselves drawn into shadows behind the dazzling lights of Neo San Francisco. The secrets they uncover could shake the very foundations of society, and some powerful people would stop at nothing to keep them quiet. Purnell, tell us about 2064 Read Only Memories Integral.
Integral in
Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl.
By the way, we should mention the Integral Edition has bonus content on the Switch. I think it's like an in-game art book and soundtrack and stuff like that.
Yeah, I noticed that there's like a decent cool soundtrack inside the game. Like at the very beginning of the game, you acquire a set of headphones, and when you wear the headphones, if you use the headphones in combat, or not in combat, because there's no combat in this game. Spoiler in the review, if you use the headphones in your item inventory, you can actually listen to music right then and there on the spot. But there's also like a bonus menu to listen to a number of things like a side story that you should let you recommend listening to after the game's completed, because it refers to people that you'll meet during the game as far as like what their involvement was, I guess, in the overall story. I don't know, because I didn't read that comic. But I know it is a side story, but I know it is there and it is worth mentioning. But the game itself, I have such mixed feelings about it, but I'll get to that in a second. The game itself is, you said, a struggling reporter. The game opens up with you trying to turn in a review, funny enough, on the very headphones I just mentioned, and your rundown, rinky-dink apartment, and then you go to bed, and in the middle of the night, a wacky robot shows up in your house, and he just turns on the lights, and he starts, you know, organizing your desk, and a dialogue ensues where you're like, what the hell are you doing in my house? Or you can say, wow, you're a pretty fancy sweet-talking robot. And it turns out that Turing is a very special robot. The world has something called a ROM in it, which is a sort of, think of it as like a sort of artificial intelligence robot that is like humans, but it's not human. Like, people know they're not human-like. And this particular robot is the first like sentient robot. He is supposed to be as much like a human as a robot could possibly get. And this robot has come to you to tell you that his creator has gone missing, and said creator was a former friend of the main character, which is why he came to you. And that triggers the adventure to go figure out what the hell happened to Turing's owner or creator. And that takes you down quite a number of interesting rabbit holes. But there's not a lot of gameplay here. I feel like it's more like an interactive story, which isn't a bad thing, you know? That's the kind of game these kinds of things can be sometimes. But I will say that I had enjoyed said adventure. Turing, I don't know how I'd feel if this game did not have voices. I feel like it might put me a little to sleep, but the fact that it has well-voiced characters takes it a long way to make me enjoy it. And it does allow the personalities of the characters to come over better. If that makes any sense, like, okay, since this guy's actually inflicting on some voice tones and stuff like that, and the way he says stuff, I can get an understanding better of what kind of person is this character I'm talking to. And everybody in this game that I've met for the most part, with the exception of that freaking, like, Jess girl, which you'll meet her when you meet her, I like everybody, though. Everybody's pretty cool, even if some of them have some less savory motives behind their actions that you'll find out as you play through the game. Some dirty shit! But, honestly, I like the characters in the game, but the plot itself kind of moves slow as molasses. So I feel like in order to get the most out of this game, if this is your forte, you need to really get invested in the characters you're talking to and just kind of exploring the world. Like when you go to a location, investigate all the objects and just kind of see what you can do with them. Like if you have, sometimes you can take the headphones item and like kind of jack it into something and they'll give you like a little wacky message, like the headphones interface with the medical device and you can hear your own rhythmic heartbeat. And then Turing might say, like, why the hell are you wasting our time doing that? We have things to do. You know, like stuff like that. Like it's mostly about exploring the world and the environments they created, and also just kind of taking in the characters as you come across them and enjoying them. Because, like I said, the story is there. is pretty intense as it gets to wrap, as it winds into like these crazier moments, but it takes a good bit of time to get to those points. Phoenix Wright, this is not. But with that said, graphically, this game is very pretty, it's colorful, and it reminds me of like a classic, I don't want to say 8-bit, because that would be a bit of a stretch, but it definitely has some 16-bit adventure vibes to it. And in addition to that, the OST, if I remember correctly, is composed by the artist Too Mellow, and it honestly is a nice, solid value to show just how good his music is, because there isn't a bad track in this game. Turing's theme is probably going to end up on Rhythm and Pixels at some point.
Nice.
Because I love it so very much. I have had moments where I like put the headphones on and just listen to his track, play for a little bit. But I honestly enjoy the game. There are, let me see, interface-wise, the things you can do when you come across objects, you can talk to them. And I think it's funny that they give you the ability to talk to a lot of inanimate objects. Just needs a weird response, like you tried to talk to the toaster. But you can talk to stuff, you can use items on things, you can touch things, which results in things like the bouncer punching you or pushing you back, because why are you trying to touch a bouncer? And you can just look at them, which is how you generally get like descriptions of characters. Like, this guy is wearing some really baggy pants and a shirt that looks like his mom bought it for him. So things like that. But honestly, the game is enjoyable. I like the idea of, like, I know I'm not like kind of going off on this crazy branching adventure, but I do like the story that's being told. I like the fact that this world is one where, I don't think I mentioned this part, the other aspect of the game as far as like this world that makes it wacky is that augmentation exists. Like, people use augmentations like crazy in this world, which results in like people with bunny ears, or, you know, just the aspect of like being very much less human than you would be otherwise. And it actually created even like factions, like a group of people who hate the fact that humans are becoming less human. So they're rebelling against this augmenting society. And you have people who don't like the fact that artificial intelligence is becoming a big thing. So they're rebelling against that. It is a very cool game. And then they reference things like Bob Ross, which is just random. Like, oh, there was this ancient painter named Bob Ross who preached a very relaxing style of being through his art. You know, like, it's a good game. It's a good game. It's just very slow. It takes a while to get moving, but it's a good game if you can handle pacing.
Gotcha. So 2064 on this one to match the title of the game. What do you think of it?
I think it's definitely at least a try. But if you're okay with pacing things, like I mentioned before, it's a buy it at least, because I can't even think of a ton of adventure games on the Switch as a whole, let alone good ones. So I think between like this and The Way Remastered, get both of those and be smiling pretty.
Nice. Sounds good.
Does it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pernell, you are crazy.
Touring good.
Jeez.
Also read online, apparently I didn't realize that the person who voices Turing is the same girl who voices Clementine from the Walking Dead video games.
Yeah, the voice cast in this game is insane.
Can you think of any other memorable or notable ones, or is it just like, is that the same one you knew?
Dave Fennoy from The Walking Dead is in there. I know Jim Sterling is in there. A couple other YouTube people are on there. Xavier Woods from the WWE is in the game.
Whoa!
Yeah, so they have a pretty crazy lineup.
Oh, man, that just goes to show you they probably were thinking about it in the way I'm actually receiving it, which is that voices will make a lot of this game sink in for people. Like, I feel like if this game was not voiced, it would not have nearly as much charm as it has. Not saying it's become a bad game all of a sudden, but that it's one thing to just read everything, and it's another thing to be like, oh, this character is clearly agitated, and I don't need to read the punctuation to know that. She's telling me she's agitated, and I like that she's got a fire in her belly. She's pretty cool. Talk about the detective, by the way. Cool detective character.
Nice. Oh, man. Well, Pernell, it is always good having you on chatting about this stuff. Do you have any final thoughts to sum it up?
I guess it kind of ties into this episode, but since we were just talking about this game, check out the Rhythm and Pixels episode where we had Too Mellow on the show. And you can hear him talk about, I think he even talks about this game for a slight period of time, but it is a good idea to check out because he's a good person. The music in this game is freaking bangers. So why not combine the two? Listen to the man talk about music that you're going to hear when you buy or try this game.
All right, next game to talk about is called Cosmic Star Heroine, developed by Zeboid Games, published by Limited Run Games, released August 14th on the Switch for $14.99. Three exotic planets to explore: aliens, robots, magic, forbidden technology, conspiracies, a galactic threat, and one brave girl to make things right. Cosmic Star Heroine is an exciting RPG from the creators of Cthulhu Saves the World. Why can't the galaxy just stay saved? Checking this one out. Chris Taylor, how are you doing?
Hey, doing all right.
How's things?
pretty blurry.
Are you staring at too many screens?
Yeah, I think so. I've been staring plenty at this one.
How is it?
It's good. Well, of course, I mean, slight bias because I actually asked you to get this one for me because I really wanted to check it out. Cosmic Star Heroine. So, this game, as far as I could tell, they kind of promote it as being very Chrono Trigger-like. And I would dare say that that is the closest game to compare it to the games of old. But really, it actually calls on a lot of the old good franchises from the 90s. So what it is it's essentially kind of a JRPG in space. You play the part, of course, of the Alyssa, the Cosmic Star Heroine. I think I got her name right. And her various friends, plus NPC recruitment, which is evocative of Suikoden, of course. And you explore different areas, and enemies appear on the screen, and you fight them exactly where they stand, so that's very reminiscent of Chrono Trigger. The actual battle system is a really interesting one that you don't see often, and that is that so all of your available moves, everything that you can do in the battle, from fighting the enemy to inflicting status to healing yourself, is on the little grid. And when you select one of those actions, then it blocks that grid out, or that part of the grid out, for the time being. So you can only use everything once. And in order to recharge everything, you have to actually rest your character for a turn. So there's a... the game immediately becomes this thing of like strategizing on how best to use what's available in your little grid. And of course you have all kinds of different stuff that you can set up on your grid. And actually, could you hang on one second? Pause. Yeah, one sec. Oh yeah. Okay. Where was I? Oh yeah. So describing the battle system, which actually is complicated. So okay, you have the grid of abilities that you can use everything only once, and then you have to rest your character. So it becomes this thing of sort of juggling what abilities you can use, and then kind of divvying up your rest points and stuff like that. And then of course there's also like sorts of things like I don't know how to describe the percentage point thing, but basically as the battles move along, like different things start to change, like the strength of your abilities and all this other stuff, and it's all determined through different kinds of number systems and such. And it's all very interesting. It actually has a really good strategy mechanic for taking down the foes. And interestingly, the foes don't reappear, like, ever. Once you defeat them, they're pretty much gone. As I understand, there are some places where you can grind a little later in the game, but for the first few areas, like, they basically are like, nah, just do this and enjoy the story. I guess the catch of it or something. The whole thing of it is that basically anytime you can shift the difficulty. So if you find that you really wanted to grind because you're not very good at the strategy part, then just, knock the difficulty on back to easy. but I got through it on medium just fine. And it, medium is about a Chrono Trigger level of difficulty.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, the look of it is really, really great. It's somewhere between Final Fantasy VI and Chrono Trigger. Beautiful sprite work, excellent music, very synthy and kind of, you know, something you would hear in a good cyberpunk kind of game. I especially dig the battle music, so it's got its strength there as an RPG. Writing's really good. It kind of borders between being sort of like serious, but with kind of clever undertones. Like there's cleverness and there's humor, but it's not a silly game. Something like Cthulhu Saves the World, which I understand is just straight up a comedy game. So this one, they definitely take a more serious tone without it losing that sort of, you know, they throw in some jokes now. Yeah, like they throw in some pretty good jokes in there. So I quite enjoyed the writing, and that really is what got me to be looking forward to the rest of the game.
Nice. So overall, $15 on this one. What do you think of it?
I think $15 is definitely a buy it. I actually think its quality is a little bit higher than what you would expect for that price. Because, I mean, you know, $15 or $10 to $15 is like you'd think a kind of generic RPG to waste time with. But this one actually seems like it has the makings to be really good. So, I mean, considering that the longest 5 minutes is $40.
You just love the longest 5 minutes, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I got the special edition coming in the mail at last.
Nice.
That was way more than $40.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but that's okay, because that's one of my favorite games ever. And this game, I would say as far as 16-bit-esque JRPGs, is looks like it potentially could get up there. It just depends on how everything holds up in the end game.
Nice, sounds good.
$15, definitely worth a try.
I will definitely have to pick it up. I know it's already out as well on PlayStation, and it is still in the works for Xbox, so it looks like everyone will have the chance to play it eventually.
Yeah, I think Limited Run actually put out a physical edition on PlayStation 4, didn't they?
I believe so.
Yeah. How many games have they actually published? Because this is the first time I've seen their name as a publisher.
I don't know if they've done anything before, really, but I don't follow Limited Run as much as others do.
That's interesting. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't either, but that's still interesting that they're actually getting into the publishing game now instead of just printing.
Hopefully they end up publishing some more games.
Yeah, hopefully.
Anyway, you got one more game to talk about. That is called The Low Road, developed and published by X-Gen Studios. It released August 23rd on the Switch for $14.99. Lie, blackmail, and steal your way down the low road. Rookie agent Noomi Kovacs must navigate her way through the world of corporate espionage in this dark spy comedy set in the 1970s. Chris, what is The Low Road?
The Low Road. Okay, so I was actually loading this up expecting a you know, just another point and click, you know, combine items or use them on people and sort of figure out how to get to the next area. But actually, this game is a little bit different. So, yeah, you do play Noomi Kovacs, who is a lady who apparently graduated from spy school, really raring to get out there. But as soon as she gets to her first job, her you know, everybody seems a little bit burned out. She finds out that she's basically going to be sitting at a desk filing paperwork for like 2 years before she even gets to use the phones to call people and lie to them. And, you know, even then she may never see field work, which is actually what she really, really wants. And you find all this out through a many branching dialogue system that I found actually quite deep. I reloaded my game a few times to keep, you know, to like redo various dialogue bits just to see kind of what happens. And like, there's a lot of directions it goes in. So that's really interesting. As a tutorial, the game actually shows you basically how to do a phone call and talk to a person that you're supposed to get information from, and you've got three pieces of evidence in your folder. And the way the game actually does it is that you're doing the phone call in real time, and you're able to manipulate your other hand with the stick and grab with the shoulder button, and you can grab the different pieces of paper and read off of them and find out information while you're talking to this person that you're supposed to fool.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and so it really is kind of like you kind of feel the pressure of having to basically do like a phone call where you're, you know, having to manipulate somebody through dialogue alone using stuff that's like just right there in front of your face. Now, of course, while you're searching for dialogue options, you do have time to read, so it's not like you have to read super fast while the person's talking to you. But yeah, that was really interesting. And although the game, and I tried this like many different ways, I probably spent too much time doing it. The game basically sets you up to fail that first mission on purpose so that it can set up the rest of the story. But every time I was just like, I know I can get it this time. Surely there'll be some bonus for me or something. No. I think the game's scripted to, it's what do you call a scripted loss? Or a scripted battle. But once you have free reign, you can then move Numi around the office and talk to different people. And talk to them you will. Each conversation lasts probably 10 to 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
There's lots of talking in this game and lots of dialogue options and just lots of stuff to sort through. Like, first, like, hour and a half of the game, I want to say, I probably talked to four people.
Jeez.
And yeah, the game's really good about world building, though. Like, you learn about your company, you learn about the other companies, some of the competitors, the different characters' motivations and stuff. One guy infuriatingly speaks only in rhyming couplets, and he makes you do it, of course. That's the way that you actually get an item from him.
Oh,
and the goal for the first part of the game really is to try and get Numi to sort of further her place in this world without having to spend the 2 years gaining valuable paper filing experience. So a lot of it is just basically, yeah, it's drop down inventory menu. You have to use the photocopier to make copies of a flyer that you get. But basically every time that you have to interact with something, it goes from, you know, walking around and talking to people and doing a very limited, like, it's not, you don't even have free control over the cursor. You just move the stick and it'll point to the nearest thing you can interact with. So very simple in that sense. But once you actually get into something where you have to do some kind of action, it will switch to that first person mode where you move your hand around and, like, you do your little, you know, grabby thing. And, You somehow, like, from the guy who talks about, talks in rhyming couplets, you get a really crappy fake ID from him that he says will work on one or two things in the building, but you have to get a proper employee ID to get things to run that you need to run, like the photocopier. Mm-hmm. And so you have to go talk to their one field employee and then get him to basically let you try to pick his pocket to prove how good you are at doing that. And then once you do that, it goes into this like mode where you try to pick his pocket, but what you're actually trying to do is replace his ID with the fake ID so that you steal his ID. And yeah, like, it was really interesting and challenging. And, the game's hard to figure out. Like, they don't really give you a whole lot of clues as to, you know, like any classic point and click. They don't really tell you like why you need a thing or what you're trying to do. You just kind of combine everything and try to figure it out. But what I like about it is, for one, is that the game actually really does deal with, like, dialogue and getting information from people who are in the spy business and using that information against them. And also involves a little bit of, like, actual tinkering and, like, puzzle game stuff. So it was a really interesting one. It's unique, I think, in the point and clicks that I've played so far.
Nice. So as it stands, $15, what's your verdict?
$15, yeah, I say go for it. If you enjoy point and clicks and you want something a little bit different, this one's definitely challenging. It's well written, it's pretty humorous, the voice acting's alright, and the music's good. although music tends to bottom out a little bit once you actually start moving around. But like the load screen music and the title screen music and like all that good stuff, it's very evocative of like 70s style music. Like the game doesn't really scream 70s at you, but like all the clothes and hairstyles and wood paneling on the walls like do suggest that this is it takes place in there. But like, you know, maybe
it just doesn't shove it down your throat.
Yeah, maybe there's more of that later, but I mean, for one thing, you know, it's good because, you know, the spying is done through very analog tools, like, you know, the old rotary phones and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I like that aspect of it. But yeah, $15, I'd say it's worth a shot.
Nice. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chris, always good having you on chatting. Do you have any final thoughts to sum it up?
Stay hydrated, folks. We're almost through the summer.
All right, next game to talk about is a preview of the game Ninjin Clash of Carrots, developed by Pocket Trap, published by Modus Games. It's releasing September 4th on Xbox One, Switch, PC, and PS4 for $14.99. Ninjin Clash of Carrots is an anime-inspired beat-em-up with a gaggle of varied enemies, deep customization, and ninjas. Play through side-scrolling worlds consisting of multiple stages and collect carrots stolen by the evil Shogun Mo. Checking this one out, giving us a preview. Royal Sefton, how are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
I'm doing pretty good as well. Just got a new couch today. So
nice!
The home is slowly coming together.
You didn't have to take it upstairs or anything, did you?
Thank God, no.
Oh, good.
Oh, that would have sucked.
Oh, yeah. No, I moved from a single-story to a two-story home a couple of years ago, and you make some very quick decisions about which furniture you really need upstairs when it's moving day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I still have part of a couch and a dresser in my garage waiting for us to move to a house with a wider staircase and a better entryway to put those things where they belong.
Nice. Yeah, so. Oh, man. So how's Ninjin?
Ninjin. It's like Clash of Carrots, I think, is the full title.
Yep.
Ninjin Clash of Carrots. Yeah, yeah. That's pretty good.
I know you had a preview build of the game. I'm not sure how much of the game is in the preview build, but I figure you'll get to that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't sit down and finish it because it the challenge ramps up pretty quick. And, you know, I also spent a bit of time playing with my kids where, you know, they're kind of getting the handle of the play mechanics and the concept. It's not complicated. It's just the challenge definitely ramps up a bit after the first few levels. So you can play as a ninja rabbit or a fox, and you are going to retrieve the carrots that were stolen from your village from Mo and Mo Jr. and all of his different like monkey ninjas and stuff. It's very it's a cartoony little game, and kind of a pixel art style. What's kind of interesting about it is I find myself kind of torn as to whether the art is great or not great, because there are very few animation frames and it's very simplistic, but it works really, really well too. So it's I think overall it looks really good. Definitely plays very well too. And a lot of fun. You go from one level to the next in sort of a Super Mario World type overland map. You run in this left to right progression, but really what you're doing is you're just taking on a wave after another of different enemies. Some of them have different projectiles, or they explode, or after you hit them the first time, they go absolutely ballistic. There's this like weird samurai crybaby thing, and every time I knock its helmet off, it lets out this and then chases me and just fucks my shit up.
Nice.
Yeah. So definitely a lot of variation between enemies, and every time a new enemy is introduced, they do this Mega Man style thing with the splash and this music. Got a little annoying after a while, but then it kind of broke the fourth wall with a little in-game joke about it.
Nice.
So it's the sense of humor, it's very self-aware. It's kind of like an obnoxious Undertale in the way it presents some of these things, the text like will twitch and vibrate in certain words to draw emphasis to them. It reminded me a lot of Undertale and that level of presentation, but obviously a very different type of game than Undertale too. So
yeah, just a little.
Yeah, just a little. But stylistically, it's cut from a very similar cloth. So, you know, it has a very indie sensibility about it, which I liked. But it's also, besides having foxes and bunnies and, you know, a good retro aesthetic, it also has a corgi. So you can't go wrong with any of those things.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. As you play through, you eventually free this like corgi shop merchant, and you accumulate carrots, and you can use your carrots to trade for different weapons. And there are a lot of weapons and other customizations in the game. You can boost your health, boost your stamina, which gives you the ability to dash more often or to throw more projectiles of your own. Like you start with shurikens, and you can get other weapons that you throw. My favorite is kind of like a pinball, and it bounces off each target. You can rack up crazy combos with that. As you get more combos, or as you pass each wave without getting hit, you get some life replenished as well, as kind of an attaboy. You get a few hundred carats per level, get more weapons, and there are also endless mode stages where you can just see how long you can last without any of your original loadout, any of your original equipment. Just go wave after wave, and you get a random piece of gear. You can pick one out of three every three waves.
That's pretty cool. You
know, treasure that. Yeah, really a lot of replayability just right out the gate. This is in a preview build. There is a lot to do in a preview build. I've really got to give props for just how addicting I think the game is. It just kind of hits all the right notes as far as replayability, and I haven't even hardly, you know, come close to completing it. So
far, we obviously can't give it a verdict yet because the game isn't out yet. We haven't played the full thing. It's still a good week and a half away. Is this something that people should keep their eyes on? Is this looking to shape up to look like a winner?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll know more when it's officially released, but it's really, I think, worth keeping an eye on. You know, if you're looking for something that's fairly action oriented, very replayable, it's got good two player, capability as well. You know, kids were playing it and
it has online too, doesn't it?
You know what? I didn't test that. It does say play online when you open a level. You do have that option. I didn't try that yet. So I want to see what that does.
I'm going to guess it's going to be tough to find a game pre-release, an online match.
Yeah, it might be, you know, different people who are getting the preview might be like ships passing in the night, and you might not get that chance, but I've got a feeling that's going to be fun when that's available too.
Well, hopefully when it comes out, we could find a way to play this together because it looks cool as hell.
Yes, definitely.
Good stuff. Well, Royal, always good having you on chatting about this stuff. Hopefully we'll get you back on again when the game is ready for full release and we'll hear your final verdict of it. But always good chatting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree.
You have any final thoughts, final words to wrap it up?
I hope you like carrots.
All right, and final game to talk about tonight is called Spectrum, developed by 3D Avenue, published by Digirati. It released August 20th on the Switch, the 21st on PS4, 24th on Xbox One, all for $11.99. Spectrum is a unique platform game set in a stunning abstract world. Jump, dive, and find your flow to skillfully navigate through 80 ingenious levels of shifting shapes and vibrant colors. Stylish visuals combined with an atmospheric soundtrack to create an immersive experience of pure zen-focused platforming. Checking this one out and presumably sucking the entire time. Jacob Garner, how are you doing?
That was actually really apt. I mean, like, the sucking the entire time part. We'll get to that later. I mean, even though that's a standard of pretty much all my reviews. I'm doing okay. I'm excited about the news that got announced this morning from how do you pronounce it? .emu or .emu?
Yeah.
Which one is it?
I say .emu.
Okay, so .emu. Yeah, I am super stoked about Streets of Rage 4.
Nice. So am I. Yeah. I hope that it comes to everything because I know...
Like, I can't see it not.
They did Windjammers, and that was a PS4 only thing. Windjammers 2 so far has only been announced for the Switch, so who the hell knows what
platforms... I'm going to be legit pissed if it doesn't come to Xbox One.
Hopefully it's on everything. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Yeah. So Okay, so we should anyway, probably talk
Spectrum.
About
Spectrum. Yeah, talk about the game you're here to talk about. Dumbass.
So it's a the game itself is very deceptive with, you know, how easy it is. I mean, it seems pretty simple. It's, you know, you start off in one place, you have to make it to this thing that looks like a black hole at the end of the level. And you've got some obstacles. The game walks you through it, you know, you jump over obstacles, you know, you can go underneath, you know, you pretty much, you try to have gravity be your friend with this game. And you get, you float this little dot, which at certain times, I'll be honest, it kind of looks like a sperm, like a black sperm.
Oh, you.
It does. I play the game. I'm serious. It looks like whatever. Anyway, so so anyways, like you're trying to navigate this, you know, sperm thing through the level. And the idea pretty much with it
is sure Digirati's going to just love you calling it a sperm thing.
You know, yeah, I got nothing. All right, so you're navigating your little guy circle thing, however you want to call it. I'm not going to call it that for the rest of the review. So you're navigating your little circle thing, and pretty much it's just, you know, white shapes are good. Everything else is bad. Like, so don't touch any of the walls, otherwise you'll lose life. And it seems pretty simple. I mean, like, you know, we've played games like Snake and stuff like that. You know, don't touch the wall. Okay. No big deal. But then the game's holding your hand and introducing the mechanics. But then it quickly, you know, it starts ramping up the difficulty. And all of a sudden you've got walls that, like, shoot out like spikes. You've got, like, little shapes that actually will start chasing you to the end of the level. And so it just gets more and more complex as the game goes on. Now, for each object, like, now there are three objectives for each level. You have to beat it by a certain time. You have to collect these little dots, kind of like a Pac-Man dot thing, I guess. Like, it varies level by level. Sometimes it's like three, other times it's 10, or so. And then, time. Dots. Oh yeah, you just have to make it to the end. I'm like, what the heck's
and
the
not
other thing?
Get hit,
right? Which, you know, I rarely got that one.
That's how you get the third. That's how you get the third one. Come on, man, you're slipping.
Right. you know how rarely I got that third one. So
yeah, that's kind of why I stepped in to help you on that one, because I knew you wouldn't have got it that much at all.
Shut up! I got it a couple times in like the first two levels. So yeah, and then the game just keeps ramping it up. The visuals start getting a tad trippier as, you go through each successive set of levels. And it's just, yeah, you just keep going. Pretty much, I like the controls to it. It felt right. The game introduced all the mechanics pretty easily. And it's just, it's a puzzle game. There's going to be a lot of dying in this game. So first off, you got to be ready for that. But one thing that I really liked about the game is that, you know, you could try to do a speed run with it. But the game also encourages you just to, like, take your time and just figure out the mechanics of how each level works too. Like, it's not like, oh, well, if you don't beat it by a certain time, you're dead. It's just, well, you just didn't complete that objective, you know, come back some other time. So even though the level itself can feel frantic, the game doesn't, like, it doesn't push you for that frantic feeling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, unless you're an achievement whore and you need to get everything and perfect every stage.
Right. I could see this becoming really big with the speedrun community, but at the same time, it's really a good game that, like, if you want to play it for 5 minutes or if you want to play it for 5 hours, you can do either. I found myself doing it for like about 15, 20 minutes at a time. Cause you know, I'd get frustrated, die a bunch of times,
shocking.
And then come back like, yeah, but then like come back like the next day and like I'd ace that level, you know, and then, you know, advance a few more, die a lot, you know, rage quit.
Be honest, yeah. When you came back, did you ace the level or did you just beat the level?
There were a couple that I did ace. it's not many, but it's mostly just struggle to get to the end.
Figured.
Yeah. I really hate the purple levels. They just drove me up the friggin' wall from the second world. And then there is an alternate game mode as well, because the version that you're playing when you first start off is the light world. There's also the dark world, which is a hell of a lot more challenging. I think I got two levels into it, because it's, like, there isn't a lot of white spaces, and so you're just trying to fly, like move your guy about and just avoid everything. Like, you just can't touch anything. It is significantly harder, but, you know, at least it adds more after you've beaten the initial levels. Yeah, so
it's double the game.
Yeah. So nice. Double is infuriating, but, you know.
But as it stands, $12 on this one, what do you think of it?
Oh, wow. That's cheap. Okay. Yeah.
Did you not pay attention when I said that in the beginning?
I don't listen to you, really.
Fair.
Yeah. yeah, $12. No, that's a steal for this. Yeah, I'd totally be cool with that.
Cool.
Yeah, so.
Good stuff.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah.
Got lots to talk about till Chris is, you know.
He was on earlier in the show. You're breaking the fourth wall.
Oh, so paid no attention to the man behind the curtain.
You are the worst at this. Jacob, always good having you on chatting about this kind of stuff.
Is it really, though? Is it really good to have me on?
No, it's tolerable at best.
And also with you, so the United Methodist in me.
Oh, shit. That is it for this episode. Thanks again to Natalie and Tom at Double 11 for coming on and chatting with Cole and I. Thanks again to everyone else who came on and did their reviews. I guess thanks to you as well for being here to help wrap up the show.
Yay.
Do you have any final words to end the episode?
Not really. You kind of caught me off guard on that one.
Oh, like I've never asked you for final words before?
For an episode? No. It's usually just like, oh, you got anything else you want to throw on? Usually I'm like one of the, you know, beginning reviews sometimes.
Yeah, well, I shoved you all the way at the end this time.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't have anything other than, like, you know, goodnight, Gracie.
Yeah, something shoved in the end.